Well, and I would, we have a couple committees working with our early start. We now have a quorum, and so we're going to leave the roll open until we really get into the business of the day with introduction and reading and reference of bills. So, Madam Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 14th day, Friday, January 27th, 2017. Allen.
Here.
Baker. Excused. Barlow.
Here.
Whiteman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovee.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Clausen.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank.
Here.
Dayton. Dayton. Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Ayer. Flitner.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Furphy. Giroux. Gray.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Haley.
Here.
Hallinan. Halverson.
Here.
Henderson. Hunt. Jennings. Kinner. Jennings here. Kinner. Kirkbride.
Here.
Larson Lloyd.
Here.
Larson Dan. Lindholm.
Here.
Lone.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Madden. McKim, excused. Miller.
Here.
Nicholas. Northrup.
Here.
Obermuller. Olson.
Here.
Paxton. Pelkey. Pieperinen. Pawnell.
Here.
Salazar.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Steinmetz.
Here.
Sweeney.
Here.
Walters. Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
We'll hold the vote open.
Thank you. Members, if you'd please rise. And Pastor Reverend Laura Rainwater, it's her last day with us here today. And Reverend, we really appreciate you spending your week with us here this week. And thank you.
Thank you. Would you please join with me in prayer? O Holy One, we gather this morning to continue the work that is before us. As we move throughout the day, we pray for peace. We pray for the peace of our hearts and spirits that are beyond understanding. We pray that we might pursue peace and mutual upbuilding that heals our relationships. We pray that peace might come into our neighborhoods, our communities, our nation, and our world as we seek to resolve conflict, pursue justice, and seek reconciliation. We pray for a peace that will allow us to become more together than we are apart. Blessed are the peacemakers who will be our guides. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. House come to order, please. Okay, we're at that order of business of Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 26, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru.
We have no doctor or nurse of the day except our good doctors from Campbell County. So if you need to talk to a man about a horse or anything in between, we have folks here. So thank you, good representative doctors. Members, we're going to leave vote open until we come back. I've had a request at this time the majority party would like to caucus in L-51 immediately. So we'll stand at ease while the majority party caucuses, and we'll move to L-51. Thank you.
Wow.
Madam Chief Clerk, we'll close the roll.
The roll call for Friday, January 27th, 2017, is 58 present and 2 excused.
Okay, thank you. We're at that order of business now of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 247.
House Bill 247, introduced by Representative Byrd, Medical Marijuana Reciprocity.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to possession of marijuana.
House Bill 247 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 150.
House Bill 150, introduced by Representative Madden, Tax Credit Scholarship Program.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education.
House Bill 150 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 228.
House Bill 228, introduced by Representative Gray, Tax Credit Education Savings Accounts.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education.
House Bill 228 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 246.
House Bill 246, introduced by Representative Hunt, Condemnation, Disclosure of Affected Property Owners.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to eminent domain.
House Bill 246 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 253.
House Bill 253, introduced by Representative Harshman, Economic Development Account Funding.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to economic development.
House Bill 253 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 254.
House Bill 254, introduced by Representative Harshman, Public Purpose Investments.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state investments.
House Bill 254 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schwartz.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the first time since I was elected to this position, I have the honor of having a member of my family here. And I would like to introduce Zach Schwartz in the back of the fishbowl. He came to hear if it's true that we are one of the greatest legislative bodies in the world.
Welcome to the House, Zach. Thank you for loaning us your dad. Reports from standing committees.
House Bill 220, introduced by Representative Edwards. Ad valorem taxation, liens on mineral production, an act relating to ad valorem taxation. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 220, Ad Valorem Taxation, Liens on Mineral Production, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kinner, Larson, Madden, Obermueller, and Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. House Bill 242, introduced by Representative Barlow, Ad Valorem Tax Liens on Mineral Production, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 242, Ad Valorem Tax Liens on Mineral Production, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Hallinan, Larson, Madden, and Paxton. Noes, Representative Furphy, Kenner, and Obermueller. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. House Bill 68, Election Ballots, introduced by Representative Zwanitzer, an act relating to elections. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 68, Election Ballots, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Lindholm, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Noes, Representatives Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, and Lone. Signed, Representative Lindholm, Vice Chairman. House Bill 74, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Agent Orange Health Awareness Month, an act relating to state-recognized commemorative days. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 74, Agent Orange Health Awareness Month, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Excused, Representative Blackburn. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. House Bill 128, introduced by Representative Allen, Tribal License Plates, an act relating to motor vehicle registration. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 128, Tribal License Plates, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Eklund, Piperinen. Noes, Representatives Edwards and Laux. Excused, Representative Blackburn. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. House Bill 176, introduced by Representative Walters, Veterans Tuition Waiver Program Requirements, an act relating to veterans. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 176, Veterans Tuition Waiver Program Requirements, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Noes, Representatives Blake, Brown. Excused, Representative Blackburn. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 56.
House Bill 56, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Mobile Home Title Status Upon Permanent Foundation, an act relating to mobile homes.
House Bill 56 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 58.
House Bill 58, introduced by Appropriations, School Facilities Appropriations, an act relating to school facility projects.
House Bill 58, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76.
House Bill 76, introduced by Representative Allen, American Indian Education Program, an act relating to public education.
We have an amendment. Representative Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 76. This is a quick, fairly simple amendment to page 3, line 4. And it basically, it deletes one short phrase, say, subject to approval of, with, in consultation with. This amendment has been run by the sponsor of the bill and the folks who are and basically the tribal folks who are encouraging this. And it's just a clarification that what goes up on the Internet, we'll consult with and have the involvement of the tribes, but they, at the end of the day, the ultimate approval needs to go through through the process with the state board. So that's really all it does.
For your first time, Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a friendly amendment. It makes it better, and it's the one that we alluded to yesterday. So I would stand on and for and urge or call for the question.
Anyone else for their first time? Question being called, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 76. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. That amendment's been adopted. House Bill 76 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86.
House Bill 86, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources. Omnibus Water Bill Construction, an act relating to water development projects.
House Bill 86, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 113.
House Bill 113, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Medicaid Waiver Program, Military Personnel, an act relating to the Medical Assistance and Services Act.
House Bill 113, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 121.
House Bill 121, introduced by Representative Allen, Fishing Licenses, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 121, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130.
House Bill 130, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Harvest of Trophy Game and Fur-Bearing Animals, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 130, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 156.
House Bill 156, introduced by Representative Barlow, Involuntary Commitment, Emergency Detention Amendments, an act relating to involuntary commitment.
House Bill 156, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 159.
House Bill 159, introduced by Representative Zwanitzer, Homeless Minors, an act relating to children.
House Bill 159, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 164.
House Bill 164, introduced by Representative Barlow, Professional Licensing Boards, Telemedicine, Telehealth, an act relating to professions and occupations.
House Bill 164, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 186.
House Bill 186, introduced by Representative Kirkbride, Improvement and Service Districts Services, an act relating to improvement and service districts.
House Bill 186 has amendments. Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 186 and ask for your favorable consideration. In general file, I brought up the issue that I thought I would like to see this go before and be approved by the Board of County Commissioners in the county in which these districts lie, and then it would go out to a vote of the members of the districts. And part of my reason for looking at this was not to create extra work for our commissioners, but really because they are an authority that has, especially the districts are being taxed. They need to be aware of what's going on and go in and have an explanation with it. So just a little bit of a safeguard that I thought would help shore this up a little bit and not delay the process or unduly burden the process.
Chairman Kirkbride, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider that basically a friendly amendment. The commissioners are already involved several ways along the path in the improvement service district formation. If any bonds are ever issued, they collect the money and remit it to the district. So I consider that a friendly amendment.
Anyone else? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 186. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 186 has been adopted. We're on We have another amendment. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I move second reading amendment number 2 to Bill 186. When our staff reviewed what we'd done here, we decided we need to define act on the second page of the bill, line 2. There's reference to act, so what does that mean? And we're going to add section 2 that defines what act means. The act refers to the Special District Improvement and Service Act, which is the Title 18, Chapter 12 series. So there'll be insertion of a section 2 as described in the amendment, and it's just kind of a technical correction.
Anyone else for the first time? The question being called, although we are voting on House Second Reading Amendment number 2 to House Bill 186, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. That amendment has been adopted. House Bill 186, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 189.
House Bill 189, introduced by Representative Harshman. Higher Education, Non-Resident Tuition, an act relating to higher education.
House Bill 189, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. We are on that order of business of bills on third reading consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 84, House Bill 91, House Bill 98, House Bill 111, House Bill 114, House Bill 117, House Bill 120, House Bill 152, House Bill 153, House Bill 161, and House Bill 171.
Are there any members who would request one of these bills be removed from the consent list? Chairman Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we move House Bill 91 from the consent list.
House Bill 91 has been removed from the consent list to the regular third reading list. Are there any other bills that members would like removed from the consent list? Okay, we'll pause while we make that correction in the computer. And I would ask the reading clerk to read the consent bills through the enacting clause.
House Bill 84, introduced by Representative Barlow. Workers' Compensation Delinquent Employers, an act relating to labor and employment. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 98, introduced by Representative Greer, LLC, Disillusion Distributions, an act relating to limited liability companies. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 111, introduced by Representative Barlow, County Collective Accounts, an act relating to workers' compensation. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 114, introduced by Representative Brown, Service and Assistance Animals, an act relating to service and assistance animals. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 117, introduced by Representative Steinmetz, Operation of Motorboat While Intoxicated, an act relating to watercraft. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 120, introduced by Representative Summers, Maximum Speed Limit Petition, an act relating to the regulation of motor vehicles on highways, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 152, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Search and Rescue Operations, an act relating to search and rescue operations, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 153, introduced by Representative Jennings, Parental Rights, an act relating to parents. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 161, introduced by Representative Pelkey, Divorce, Residency, an act relating to domestic relations. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 171, introduced by Representative Barlow, Unemployment Insurance Delinquency Contributions, an act relating to unemployment compensation. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
I need that. Roll call on the consent. Allen.
Aye.
Baker excused. Barlow.
Aye.
Fightman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner. Freeman, Furphy, Guru, Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kenner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone, Laux, McGuire. Okay. Madden.
Aye.
McKim excused. Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
McGuire.
Excused.
Excused. 57 aye, 3 excused. As for House Bill 84, are there any changes? Lindholm, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Other changes? Blackburn, aye to no. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 54 aye, 3 no, 3 excused. As for House Bill 98, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused. As for House Bill 111, are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused. As for House Bill 114, are there any changes? Greer, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Henderson, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 48 aye, 9 no, 3 excused. As for House Bill 117, are there any changes? Lindholm, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Henderson, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Larson Dan, aye to no. Clausen, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Are there other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 47 aye, 10 no, 3 excused. As for House Bill 120, are there any changes? Larson Dan, aye to no. Gray, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Ayer, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Henderson, aye to no. Obermueller, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Furphy, aye to no. Olson, aye to no. Clausen, aye to no. Crank, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Pipirinen, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Northrup, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Beitman, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Are there other changes? Winters, aye to no. Flitner, aye to no. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 30 aye, 27 no, 3 excused. We'll get a copy of that one. As for House Bill 152, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused. As for House Bill 153, are there any changes? Schwartz, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Pelkey, aye to no. Guru, aye to no. Freeman, aye to no. Paxton, aye to no. Are there other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 50 aye, 7 no, 3 excused. As for House Bill 161, are there any changes? Olson, aye to no. Beitman, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Are there other changes? Clem, aye to no. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 53 aye, 4 no, 3 excused. As for House Bill 171, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 84, 98, 111, 114, 117, 152, 153, 161, and 171 have passed the House. Having failed to receive an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 120 has failed to pass the House. We are now on that order of business of bills on third reading regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 24.
House Bill 24, introduced by Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, Water Commission Duties, an act relating to water, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 24 and ask for your favorable consideration. Okay, so as you look at the amendment, please get the corrected copy. There's two of them out there. So we're looking at the corrected copy. Page one, line one, after authorization, authorizing. We're going to add in the rulemaking authority to allow. And then on page 3, line 2, we're going to add in, or actually, we're deleting annually after office. And on page 3, line 3, approval is also deleted. And then we're adding in to promulgate rules 2. And so now we have allowed the commission to make rules to tell the office what to, how things are going to go. Roughly.
Anyone else for their first time? Vice Chair Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Real briefly, I think that, as you can see, I'm a co-sponsor on this, and I think this sort of clarifies some things, and I consider it a friendly amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was initially concerned about this bill, but now I'm comfortable with it. What we heard in testimony is between the commission and the office is they had received an audit, said there weren't any clear lines regarding some delegation of duty, primarily administrative duties. And so the bill as originally drafted just had this general, this general grant. And so this amendment makes this better. They do share duties back and forth, and it works very well, and it's something they've done over years and years and years. But here's what we'll have now is they'll promulgate some rules that'll set that down in writing so there's some consistency and actually someone can go to and look at what is being delegated. So I think this is a very good amendment. Also, they sped up the enactment clause just so these rules can conform to the practice they're doing now, and this can get done quickly. So I, in favor of the amendment, in favor of the legislation.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the good country lawyer for helping us out on this. It really does clarify things, and it'll help the commission and the water or the office that helps develop water work together. Please vote aye.
Anyone else for the first time, second time? I think I heard the question being called. The question is third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 24. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. House Bill 24 having received, excuse me, House Bill 24 having been read, no. The question is, shall House Bill 24 pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll. Thank you.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker excused. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Bightman. Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim. Excused. Miller. Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson. Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 24, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the House, House Bill 24 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 40.
House Bill 40, introduced by Statewide Education. Education Accountability, an act relating to education accountability. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have amendments. Minority Whip Summers. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Mr. Speaker, I would like to move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 40 and ask for your favorable consideration. And members of the 64th, if you go into page 25, after line 23, insert D. And I'm going to just read what D says. The advisory committee to the Joint Education Interim Committee shall study the elimination of 9th and 10th grade summative assessments. Any impact the elimination would have on the statewide accountability model and any fiscal impact to the state. The advisory committee shall report its findings to the Joint Ed Interim Committee no later than August 15th. So where this comes from is in ESA, in current federal law, and I think even maybe it was in No Child Left Behind, but I certainly know it's in the current act. You do not have to have more than one summative assessment in high school. And in these challenging times with our budget, I would like it investigated. One, you know, obviously there's impacts. Could it be done? How it could be done? Could we eliminate the 9th and 10th grade summative assessments? How much money would we save by doing that, and what would it do to our accountability model, and how could we look at that issue? So all I want to do is have the advisory committee, which is already seated and working on these issues, report to the Joint Education Committee. How much money would it save us to do this? I was going to bring the amendment to eliminate them, and I thought, maybe I better take the first step of having our local advisory committee take a look at the issue. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Summers. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is just asking in statute that this be done, and it's up to you if you decide if you want to have it in statute or if you think that we ought to have it just tell the advisory committee. But if it's in statute, it's like they shall do it. So it's up to you. It's personally your – I kind of support it. It's good to have them keep looking at these assessments, and so I support it. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Second time. Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 40 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're on another amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 40. Members of the 64th, this is just a clarification for page 22. You can see that on page 22, we reference the statute. Pardon me, Mr. Chairman. We reference the statute 21-2-202A-XXX. And Mr. Speaker, that specifically references that the state superintendent shall choose that college readiness exam. And going over this with the education chairman, it's just a clarification piece. I'll stand for any questions.
Anyone for the first time, Chairman Northrup?
Yeah, we're just wordsmithing here, and so it's not a bad idea to make it very clear and delineated whose duties are whose. It's fine.
Question being called on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 40. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That amendment has been adopted. House Bill 40, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker excused. Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim, excused. Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pannell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer. Zwanitzer. Excused. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused.
House Bill 40, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 40 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 91.
House Bill 91, introduced by Representative Lone. Alimony Termination, an act relating to domestic relations. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to apologize. You know, when I've been off the floor quite a bit, and I don't know what all the discussions have been on some of these bills that are coming through on third reading. And so I looked at this morning, and frankly, I just had some real issues, and I want to bring up a couple of topics about this bill. So this bill is the concept of this bill, I don't have a problem with. The issue is termination of alimony and when it's appropriate to terminate alimony and on what conditions. If you go to page 3, this bill says that if someone remarries after you've been divorced and they have been awarded alimony through the original divorce decree, they are automatic. Whatever alimony was awarded is automatically terminated, and in fact you're in contempt if you don't give notice to the court, and then if the alimony is not terminated. There's no provision in this to go back to the court and say, well, alimony is still appropriate under certain circumstances. And that makes no sense to me. Let me give you an example. If you're 65 years old and you remarry someone, you've been married for 50, let's say if you're 75 years old, you've been married 50 years, your husband was a multimillionaire, and you are a single, and you are a house mom, you had 5 kids and raised them, and so all of a sudden, if you find a companion, you marry him, your alimony is terminated for the rest of your life, even though you were never a breadwinner. And so basically, what that really does, you're inhibiting, or it's almost like an anti-marriage concept. If you go back and remarry, by golly, there's a presumption that who you're remarrying has the wherewithal to take care of whatever alimony you are receiving. And I would say that's not accurate. If you marry someone who's, for example, if you marry someone, a mother, an unwed mother with 3 kids, and now you're marrying in order to, and actually have additional support obligations, why should your alimony terminate? If the reason that you were awarded alimony in the first place is because the other side of the first marriage had large, substantial financial capabilities. And this makes it automatic. And so what my amendment does, it takes out subsection B, and it says that if someone remarries then that's automatic grounds that constitutes a change of circumstances. Normally, to go in and change a divorce decree, you have to have a substantial change in circumstances. Otherwise, it's a frivolous claim to come in and ask for a modification of the divorce decree. So if you remarry, that's under the new amendment. That's automatic grounds to come in and before the court and demonstrate there's a basically per se, it's automatic change of circumstances. And then you present to the court, my ex has just remarried. There's no longer a need for the alimony that's been awarded because the new spouse has substantial income. Or the opposite can be true. The new spouse is a single mother with four kids, and I need this alimony, and I'm not moving into this marriage because I'm getting additional support. I have additional support obligations. If you're 75 years old and you remarry and you got alimony coming in, and your new partner that you want to marry because you're in love with this person, you're going to lose your alimony, so they're not going to want to get married, so that you're forcing those folks to live together. And so to me, that's an anti-marriage concept. So it shouldn't just be automatic. You should be able to go in and look at the facts, and then the court can say, absolutely, alimony is no longer justified under this circumstance. So that's what this bill does. And then the other modification, it eliminates Section B, inserts it, and just says you have the right to have a hearing on this, and this is grounds for the court to modify. Subsection C says the court shall consider attorney's fees for someone who brings this action to eliminate alimony. I just changed the word from shall to may. So if it's appropriate to award attorney's fees, in that instance, the court will consider it. And so it's kind of, and honestly, there are very, very few cases in the world where alimony is awarded. I can just tell you that from being a practicing lawyer for a long time. It doesn't happen very often. But when it does happen, it's needed for a reason. And to automatically take away that that support lifeline just because someone remarries, I would suggest that in and of itself is not appropriate grounds to terminate the alimony. The court should do it. You've got to balance the equities and see what the fair thing is to do. So that's what this amendment does. So I don't know if I introduced the bill. So, Mr. Speaker, I would move the third reading amendment 1 to House Bill 91 and ask for your favorable consideration.
You did, Chairman.
Okay.
You moved it initially. Is any other members for their first time? Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move to divide this amendment, division number 1 being lines 7 through 12, and division number 2 being lines 1 through 6.
The chair rules that is divisible, so the amendment is divided with division number 1 being lines 7 through 12 of the amendment is division 1, and lines 1 through 6 is division 2. So we'll start with division 1, third reading debate rules. Everyone will have 2 times to debate division number 1. Representative Lone.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Division number 1 is amenable to the bill. I would agree with it and concur with division number 1. Thank you, sir.
Anyone else for their first time on division 1? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will also speak on in favor of division 1. I think, honestly, that's a good cleanup, probably an oversight on the may to shall. Change on page 3, line 13. When we have attorney's fee situations in every other area, they are it is a may option. So I think that makes perfectly good sense. And then line 16, everything that follows after costs is unnecessary as well. So I would agree with those amendments, and I see them as friendly as a co-sponsor of this bill.
Anyone else for their first time? For the second time, question being called on division 1. On third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 91, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Division number 1 has been adopted. We are now on division number 2. Any members for their first time? Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would recognize Division Number 2 is hostile to the bill. Understand that this bill is not something new in America. There are 19 other states that have exact wording in theirs that says alimony is automatically terminated upon remarriage. And I would further say that as an individual who, if I were to get divorced and remarried, that right there is telling whoever I was previously married to that whatever ties we had are severed. They're done with. So I don't believe a person should be required to carry on after that marriage is terminated and the individual receiving alimony assumes a new marriage. I mean, that's an option you take as an individual. And so I believe the original bill, the way it was written, is proper and written in the means that I believe is the best. Thank you very much.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm gonna resist this amendment, and I maybe hostile is the word for it. It does completely change the purpose of the bill, and I want to walk you through two things. First, I want to explain to you what is known as the alimony movement, the change in alimony in a changing society, and then number two, I want to talk to you about why I believe the good representative from the district where we are now, I believe his concerns are all actually addressed inside the bill. And so let me get to that second. But first, number one, there's a substantial change in the need for alimony in our society. In 1967, 14.8% of the workforce was female. And in 1967, 61% of that workforce made less than their male counterpart spouse. In 2010, these facts are from the American Bar Association. In 2010, 47% of the workforce was female. 14.8%, 47%. In 2010, 33% of the workforce of women made less than their spouse. Compare that again to 61%. So there's a substantial change. In the state of Wyoming, alimony is a two-part test. Number one, you have to have a need for alimony. You have to have a need. And number two, there has to be an ability to pay. So there was, first I want you to take those figures into consideration because the need for alimony has waned in the country. In Wyoming, the Supreme Court has consistently said alimony is not favored in the law. In fact, our statutes are sparse. Unlike other states that might have an actual scheme on awarding alimony, we have vaguely nothing. Because the good representative who spoke earlier is correct. Alimony cases are far and few between. They're not awarded very often. So number two, know that that's because we're moving away from the need for it. Now, how does the bill actually address the situation of the 65-year-old brought up earlier? I want you to look at page 3, subparagraph B. This is what we're amending. And the amendment that's being proposed is actually the current law. I can file for a modification, and if I can prove, the test isn't a substantial change in circumstances, but that is the test we use for child modification and support modification. That's not the test, but I do file a motion for a modification, and I have to prove to the judge what? That there's no longer a need or the ability to pay or both. Well, alimony, when it is awarded, is very temporary in this state. When it is awarded, it might be awarded for a couple of months or a couple of years at best. There's only a couple dozen cases of alimony if you were to do a Supreme Court search. They're very far and few between. Subparagraph B, page 3, says, starting on line 8, again, above line 8, it says, when we remarry, we're going to automatically terminate alimony. Line 8, unless the final decree or a written agreement between the parties approved by the court provides specifically for the payments to continue. That's key, folks. That's key. Because if you're entering into an agreement with your spouse, all you have to do is insert the magic words into your decree that alimony does not terminate upon remarriage, and it will not terminate. If you try the case,
and the judge is worried that he's awarding a 15-year alimony and it's going to terminate because the 65-year-old's going to get remarried, all that judge has to do is insert into his written order that it will not terminate upon remarriage. The bill provides for that out. It gives complete discretion to the judge, and it gives complete discretion to you as parties. If you don't want your alimony to terminate, you just put those magic words in. So I don't think, I would ask you to resist the amendment because it's nothing more than the current law. The bill addresses the concerns of the good representative. We're not tying the court's hands, and we're not tying parties' hands for freedom of contract. Thank you.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising in support of the amendment and still undecided on the bill. simple fact of the matter is, and I think the previous speaker pointed out, is that questions of alimony are complex, and you do not address complex issues in law with an automatic tripwire that says X will stop upon this. What we do is, particularly in a case of alimony, particularly in a case of divorce, is you allow the court to take a look at it. And if it makes sense, go ahead and stop alimony. And if it doesn't make sense, if the circumstances are, as the good bringer of this amendment pointed out, may be such that alimony is warranted, then it should continue. So, again, in support of the amendment, and no opinion on the bill.
Chairman Nicholas, for your first time on Division Two.
Mr. Chair, I will reserve for my second time.
Okay, thank you. Any members for the second time? Any members for the first time, actually? Minority Floor Leader Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am in favor of this amendment. Friends, I had a big no written on this bill until this amendment. I didn't think that the bill was salvageable, and I think the good chairman from Appropriations did it with this amendment. Just, I want to add one other thing to what others have said. But if you look at it, what you see is that there is a balance now of responsibilities where the person who is receiving alimony is now, in that first section, obligated to let the court know within 30 days. The court then lets the person who's paying the alimony know. If the person who's getting the alimony doesn't let the court know, he or she can be held in contempt. Right? That's a big deal. Then it switches to the obligation on the part of the person who is paying alimony now. If he or she wants to bring forth a suit for a change in alimony payment, they can do so. He or she can do so. Then you have exactly as the good bringer of the amendment brought in, that consideration, the court can take a look at that change in circumstances. It's a per se kind of look. If the person who's paying alimony believes that the alimony should be changed, it's a perfect solution to what I saw as a flawed bill. So I'm in favor of this division.
Any other members for their first time? We're now moving to second time on Division 2 before the sponsor. Any members for their second time? Representative Loan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One point I would also like to remind the committee is during our first reading discussion, we brought the amendment that discussed the enactment or when this would be enacted, which we changed from July 1st, 2017 to January 2018. And the discussion was that on that was so that we could allow attorneys to be properly trained and to have a knowledge about this bill and how it will affect the future. So we delayed the enactment of this bill ultimately for the lawyers to ensure that there would not be confusion. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, good luck on training some lawyers and teach them to behave and not talk too much. That'll be an interesting component. And I want to thank the body for listening to a bunch of lawyers on a bill like this. That's also got to be a bit of a headache. And I'd like to really thank my fellow compatriot from this county, because he just told you, even though he was arguing against the amendment, basically what he told you supports the amendment, because what he testified to was
by golly, now it's because there are more working women, we don't need this bill. And the percentages don't justify it. And I'm saying, well, that's just the opposite is true. This bill and my amendment are for those situations where it, those very rare situations where alimony is awarded, which doesn't happen very often, but folks, when it's needed, it's needed. And there's a reason for it. And what this bill does, without the amendment, it is very, basically it's an anti-marriage bill, because it says, what that person will do is say, well, I can't get remarried, I'll lose my alimony, so we'll just live together. And is that the intent of this body, to be anti-marriage? That doesn't make sense to me. So let's just walk through those the idea of the notice requirement. So it's the notice requirement is punitive. It's automatic, as discussed by from over the legislature from over the hill. And frankly, what the other thing we're doing here is we're taking away the discretion of the court. The nice thing about our court system is that no case is black and white. And so why should this instance be black and white? You should be able to go in front of the court, explain why the alimony should end or not end, and let the court make a decision. This is black and white. You get remarried, it's gone. And I should submit that in the cases where that's going to have an unfair result or it's going to prevent someone from remarrying, it's simply the wrong thing to do. So on in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on Division 2 to Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 91. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division Number 2 has passed. House Bill 91, division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those in favor of Division Number 2, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. 37 was our count. Less than 37. House Bill 91. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker excused. Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bovee. No. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Hunt. Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim excused. Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Aye. Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Yeah.
Schwartz.
Yeah.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 49 aye, 9 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 91, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 91 has passed the House. We're at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for consideration of the following bills. There is a change. After our first bill, which is House Bill 47, please insert House Bill 218 and 219. And then we'll continue on to House Bill 139, House Bill 144, House Bill 61, and the list, the blue sheet you should have in your inbox.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Representative Brown.
Committee of the Whole will now come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 47. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 47, introduced by Representative Barlow, Water Rights Procedures, an Act Relating to Water. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 47, Water Rights Procedures, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Claussen, Gray, Haley, Henderson, Hunt, Larson, Steinmetz. Excused, Representative McKim. Signed, Representative Larson, Vice Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this bill was then referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Hunt?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 47 do pass. And I would turn the explanation of the bill over to the good veterinarian from the land of the camels.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you House Bill 47. There's a lot of pages in this bill, but it does one fundamental thing. It shifts the burden of advertising water proofs from the county in which they are currently, which they are in, from the county government to the actual individual who gains the benefit, the irrigator, appropriator, et cetera. So there is a fee increase. So I'll just take you through the bill quickly. If you look on page, I'm going to start on page 4, line 11, you'll see county in which the stream. That's the county is not going to pay for it. Now it's going to be the Secretary of the State Board of Control. Go to the next page. There's nothing on the next page. Sorry, it's on the top of the, in the next page. The bottom of page 6, lines 22 and 23, we're striking out county. And then we turn to page, the last page, again, page 8, line 14, paid for by the county. So, ladies and gentlemen, what occurs is the agency that oversees this sends the advertisement to the newspaper in the community where this is occurring and says to the newspaper, bill the county. What we're doing with this bill is we're actually increasing the fee that the applicant or appropriator must submit to cover the advertising cost. And they will have the ability to adjust that fee, not a greater than $100, to that appropriate level. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is actually taking a burden off our local governments. We seem to be willing to put more burdens on them. Let's actually pull one back and put it onto the actual beneficiary of the water use. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for any questions. And seeing that we are off to a burning pace, I'll call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman's motion that when Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 47 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. House Bill 47 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 218. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 218, introduced by Appropriations. Motor Vehicles Registration Fees, an act relating to motor vehicle registration. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 218, Motor Vehicles Registration Fees, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman? Oh, sorry. We'll do the Vice Chairman. Okay, Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 218 do pass, and there are no amendments to the bill, and I will discuss the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, what you have is House Bill 218, motor vehicle registration fees. The bill is very simple, very straightforward in what it does. But there is some history to go with the bill. Since about 2006, our department that takes care of the highways has used general fund money to support transportation. And in recent years, due to restructuring their finance policy, they've reduced general fund use in what they do. And they're using mostly, for some things, general fund users fees and the fuel taxes, vehicle registration, driver's license fees. And because of reductions, currently they use about $50 million a year in those general fund monies. They go mainly for surface transportation, airports, and communication systems. And that they are used to maintain the state's general transportation system, surface transportation system. And then to recoup the amount of money they spend on registration fees, they originally, back in 1939, established the use of registration fees, your vehicle license plates, and that. They raised that fee over the years, and in 1975, the last year the fee was raised, it was raised to $15, and it's been there ever since. I know some of you in the room are younger than that fee. That registration fee is the state's portion. Now, when you register a vehicle, you see large amounts of money there, and those are all the county fees. The state fee currently is $15, and that the counties use their portion, that money, not for transportation systems, but for libraries, museums, general operating expense. The state share goes to maintaining our transportation system. If you have and you look in your inbox, you'll see a handout looks like this. Has a star in the upper corner, my initials on it, House District 15. If you look at the first graph on there, and yes, I used one of my three opportunities to have colored copies made for this because it is important. If you look on that graph, you can see that there's an orange line, and that's the money that the department would have received prior to de-earmarking. We went in about 2002 and de-earmarked the funds. And they were earmarked by the legislature for certain things. We said, no, we aren't going to do that anymore. You figure it out. Take the funds from these sources. And as you can see on there, a large portion is federal aid. And over the years, general funds have tended to decrease, and that we've gone to user fees, fuel taxes, and that. The net amount has been almost $1 billion since de-earmarking, so that they have not received. You can see how much higher that orange line is than the bar chart. If you look on the next page, one with a lot of green lines on it, you can see the rough split in where the money comes from, where the expenditures are. Large portion is federal funds. We have other funds, which would be federal mineral royalties and some other things. And then the state funds. And over time, the state funds have decreased to the point they're at about $50 million now. That $50 million, if you go to the next graph, shows you where that money has gone over the years. And you can see that here's where it's been. Here's where it's used. It's used in surface transportation and those sorts of things. If you look at biennial fiscal year 2017, last one at the bottom on the right-hand side of the page, you can see that it doesn't appear to be much surface transportation, the reason being they've already spent that general fund money in this fiscal year on surface transportation. And that money goes to things mostly for quick jobs like overlays. If you drive between here and the western part of the state, there are a number of them just outside of this city that were overlaid due to road damage mostly. And that's the split on where that money goes. Okay. A couple things, too. I think why the department has been very good in cost control, and if you look at the line graph on the next page, it shows their positions over time. Since 2002, they've slowly and steadily cut positions where they're down almost 200 positions from what they were. And that's what they fund currently, and it stayed fairly steady in there. And someone asked a question of me a while ago before I was up here. There is only one general funded position in the department. It sounds kind of funny, but the money that pays for that position, there's only one that comes out of general fund. The rest comes out of all the other funds, all the other positions. If you go to the last page, you'll see their biennial revenue, where it comes in from, where it goes, and how it's split up. And if you look in the upper right-hand corner, $49 million of the state general fund. So that's their financials in a nutshell, so to speak. So what we're doing with this bill is increasing the state portion of registration fees from an average of about $15 to an average of about $30. And that's the state fee you pay when you get your driver's license, you get your vehicle license. And I think I misspoke. If you look in the bill, fee goes from 15 to 25. We did some pencil sharpening and found that it only had to go to $25. That $25 then raises an additional $18 million for the department. That $18 million will be used to supplant general fund money. And if you look through the bill on page 2 and 3, it shows the increases. Important point, we are not increasing commercial vehicles. They use a proration system, and since they were removed from the ton-mile system of taxing, they're still the 15th highest in the country. So we are not affecting the commercial vehicles. We are not affecting any specific agricultural vehicles either. So it's vehicle registration. So when you register your vehicle, yes, it will go up. And it'll help defray the cost of that registration because, frankly, they're only recouping right now about 40%. When they issue you a license plate, that current $15 is only paying about 40% of that license plate cost of administration and everything else. This combined with another bill you'll hear today will generate approximately, out of the $50 million, half of that. We'll generate probably, you know, on a biennial basis, about $41 million additional to the agency. That leaves them with roughly $8 to $10 million that they will have to make up on their own. We are not backfilling it. So they aren't just getting extra money. They are taking a reduction in their state funds, and they will have to reduce some things they do or make other adjustments in how they do them. So that's the bill in a nutshell. A small increase in fees helps them recoup their costs, helps us balance our budget by directing general funds to other needed things this time. And that's it. And with that, I will stand for questions.
Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have some questions on here. I appreciate the overview. That was well done. And thank you for the good speaker pro tem for the explanation of the bill. Looking at the handout, though, I guess there's some – one of the questions here is I'm looking at the total YDOT positions 2002 to 2017, and you know, we saw a big reduction there in 2010 to 2011. And then in 2013, we had another dip, and then we gained four positions, lost two positions over 15, 16, and now we're at 2062. And, you know, I'm torn on this. I like the approach that the JAC has taken as far as taking YDOT out of general funds. I think that if we're going to do that, then if it's going to have to be self-sustaining, then those fees are necessary. The thing that concerns me, though, is why there isn't any more positions eliminated. So that's number one, if we could talk on that. It seems like, and looking just at the bar graph again, looking at service transportation, this is the YDOT General Fund use history, and it seems like we're really... Boy, we've really dipped down. I just wonder, do we need as many employees? Okay, so that's number one. Number two, we have the enacting date is effective immediately, and I'm just concerned. In fact, I have a vehicle that I have to pay for this month, and, well, my wife already paid for it, I guess, so it's about the end of the month. But say I had one next month, and I'm just wondering is, if it's not better to have this thing really at the beginning of the fiscal year, so effective July 1st. And if the good bringer of the bill could speak on those two things, I would appreciate it.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you. And just real quickly, just to kind of tie this up a little bit, this is one of four or five bills you're going to see from the JAC. And the concept and the basis of bringing these bills is to eliminate our structural deficit of roughly $110 million a biennium. And we're trying to figure out the best way to do that and how to go about doing it. And this, quite frankly, was one of the places where if you go into what we fund from general fund dollars, the $50 million a biennium is the highway department. We're less than 8 or 9% of their overall budget. And so we're kind of a little wing of their full budget. But by moving it off general fund budget for the biennium, we're halfway home of fixing our structural deficit. So then knowing that, we went in and had interviews with the YDOT folks and had discussions with them. And one of the things they talked about is that the license the vehicle licensure that we're talking about here and your driver's license component, which you're going to see on the next bill, both of those services are paid for about 35 or 40% out of the revenues received, and the rest of those duties, those people that perform the services, are paid out of general fund dollars. In other words, to provide this service to the state, we're paying general fund dollars to take care of people's licensing and driver's license. And so by what's interesting is by adding these two license fees back in,
we're still at about 80% of what the cost is just to run these two programs. So they're not self-sustaining. We're still supplementing and assisting folks to license the vehicle, what it costs to do the licensing and to do the driver's license work. We've been subsidizing this for a long, long time, and we actually will still be subsidizing these services, even with these fee increases. Going from $15 to $25 still keeps us below, it's 70 or 80% of all of the states in the nation on what they charge for license registration. And so, for us, it just kind of makes sense. To go back to the inquiry about YDOT's number of folks they hire, here's the big problem, and we've had this discussion once or twice since I came into the legislature, and that is that YDOT is their budget and their number of employees and everything they do is controlled by the Highway Commission, not by us. We don't have the ability to go in and eliminate employees and to do those types of things. It's one of those entities that kind of sits on its own, it lives and breathes on its own, and we have very little discretionary power. When I first came into the legislature, there was a bill to bring YDOT back under the general purview of the JAC, and there was some pretty vigorous debate about it. And I would submit that that's a debate for a different day. And if you think that we need to have more control over YDOT and the number of employees and how much they pay their employees, which highways they approve in their priority listing and all those kind of things, that's a debate for a different day because there's some good arguments going both ways, and frankly, I'm one of those people that think we ought to have a little bit more oversight of what they do and how they do it. But if that's the bodies and no one wants to bring a bill on that, great. But to address the issue of how we take care of that, the fact is we don't have those abilities. Then if you look at the back page, it has the YDOT payment distribution formulas, and basically there's three funds that go down to fund different things with the dollars that come in the door. We have very little ability to effectuate where those dollars go through their budget. We're starting with $50 million, but a lot of those $50 million are dedicated funds, so we can't go in and change those dedicated funds through the budgetary process and say, move these funds over here, because we'll be defunding things, number one, that have already been paid for or already committed in terms of contract or other services, and we'll be robbing Peter to pay Paul. All of a sudden, they're going to have to close down a bunch of airports. They're going to have to stop some highway department contracts. And things, in other words, there were unanticipated consequences that we just made absolutely no sense. Combine that with an additional problem, because you may recall, the folks, if you've been here, that we took AML dollars and we've put those over $162 million over into the YDOT, and we're having them expend those dollars, and then by doing so, we're capitalizing on those funds that are made available through Congress, and it's a one-time thing. And because YDOT has so many programs and expenditures, road construction projects, they're able to spend those dollars and get them out before Congress takes those money away from us. So that's why we did that last year and the year before, is to expend those AML dollars. Because of what we did, and we've tied up a lot of their revenues when we tied up the AML dollars, we can't go in and just move dollars around even within the $50 million that we have, because we've directed them that they've got to fund all these projects with AML dollars. So literally, there is no loose change out there where they can kind of do pass-through components of it to protect us, to allow us to go in and grab, say, $6 million or $15 million and just say, we're gonna only fund you $35 million instead of $50 million. We can't do that. They will have to cut projects around in every one of our communities if we do that. So once we looked at the whole package, we put it all together, and we said that it's fair in concept of what people pay for the registration, and it still doesn't pay for itself, and we want to make it more of an enterprise project, so your license registration pays for the services they provide, and so there's a rationale to it as opposed to just raising licensure for licensure's sake, and it takes care of our structural deficit. So we thought this was the best way we could do it and one of the most effective ways to do it. And if you have any further questions, bring them up and we'll try to address them on second reading or second argument.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is actually within the context of the bill, and on page 2 you'll see school buses. So my question is, are we going to raise a fee that we're paying on ourselves? So is this just a money? And I don't know how many dollars that is, but if public school buses, we're talking about public school buses, we're reimbursing that at 100%. So now we're raising the fee on ourselves. My second question is, it seems to me, and I just went through this process, I can pay multiple years at a time. So there might be a rush at the office of the treasurer in our counties to pay multiple years at a time, depending on how many vehicles you have. I just did 13 vehicles and paid for 2 years. If all of a sudden now my registration fee may go up by 10 or 15 bucks, that would be a significant savings, and I can let them sit on that money. So I just wondered about those two things. One, the bus issue, and two, the timing, multiple things at one time, multiple years at one time, and what the impact of that could be. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to point out that this has been looked at before over the last few years, and you might wonder why it's been 42 years since this fee has been raised. And I think you have to look at it from the standpoint of a consumer and the perception they have of Wyoming's price of a license plate, a registration every year. The only part that YDOT receives is the $15, you know, for a passenger car or a pickup. The rest of it's really an ad valorem tax, and that ad valorem tax is what's paying for the schools. And this is unique to Wyoming. It's almost, I don't know of another state that we discovered that uses the ad valorem tax. So, for example, if you've got a pretty new pickup, or a car, the total license fee or the registration fee may be up to $515, and that's pretty close to what I paid for my vehicle this year, $515. All this bill does is change it from $515 to $525, okay, a $10 increase out of $500 or $515. The other thing we discovered when we studied this financing for YDOT a few years ago is that we're unique in this state by using general fund dollars. I don't know of any other state that uses any significant amount of general fund dollars. It's that they look at the highway department as kind of a quasi enterprise fund. You know, you pay as you go, and we've never done that. Sometimes I think that if we hadn't have spent $750 million over those years in the last 15 years in general funds and had the foresight to save it and put it in the LSRA, how much better off we would be now. So I think that we have to face up to reality here. Something like this that hasn't been raised for 42 years is... maybe it's time to bite the bullet and raise it $10. Thank you.
Representative Obermueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm standing in favor of this bill and want to talk a little bit about where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, on this issue. If we take them out of the general fund and don't do something about the fees, we've got real deterioration problems on our bridges and roads. Right now, they do an analysis of the condition of the bridges as one example on a continuing basis, and right now 50% of the state highway bridges are in poor to fair condition. So if we do not fund YDOT, our roads will continue to deteriorate, and then we will really have a lot of money to spend because roads deteriorate from the bottom up, not the top down. Thanks.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'd just like to go over perhaps an aspect of this discussion that we had in JC that we haven't had here, and that is as we have been tasked with finding ways to save general fund dollars to meet that structural deficit. And we looked at this, we thought, well, we'll pull YDOT out. And one of the programs at YDOT, they says we can operate and take and work with the roads. You won't, you know, we'll lose maintenance and we'll the conditions of the roads will be not as you would prefer them, but we can live along. But one of the things that we will not be able to fund is the aeronautics requirements because of the state's required needs there. So the enhanced services that we now provide for some of the air services in various airports around the state, the state's matching funds for these small airports to meet the FAA requirements on runway expansion and runway condition, we'll have to find that money somewhere else. And so we kind of backed off and says, well, if that's a critical need in the state, so we've got to find some way to continue providing that service that the state expects, the citizens of the state expect us to maintain. And that's another one of the reasons we looked at this and felt that this was an appropriate way to supplement those funds and still take care of the services that the state has expected the citizens of the state have expected us to maintain. Now, to our good doctor of the day who brought up the point that you could pay early, I would share with you that if this bill passes, we could have Black Friday on registration fees, and everybody could go, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, those will level out, and you'll see that come. So that's not a sustained discount that would apply. I would just share with the body that we understand what raising fees do, and we didn't look at this option with levity or in a cavalier manner at all. We think that this is a legitimate and an appropriate way to address this need, and we hope that you'll support us in passing this bill. Thank you.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I speak on and for this bill, and I would just try to bring it home to the wallet here with regard to, if you take the increment of $10, for example, on the car or truck, and you divide it by 365, it's about 2.73 cents a day more. And I think it's reasonable. Also, this is a strategic move to fix a structural deficit, and I support that.
Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like the discussion. I was listening intently, and I'm hearing this argument that it's either this or that. You know, we're gonna take YDOT out of general fund dollars, that we're gonna need to increase fees because we need to pay for aeronautics, and if we don't pay for aeronautics, then it's gonna go away. And then the other argument that I'm hearing is that we have no control over the commission in these positions, and I submit to you that this body right here controls the purse strings. We control what money that commission gets. Now, some of the money we don't. I understand those federal funds we may not control. But we do have a portion of control. And we can certainly move that money over to aeronautics if this body so chooses to. And we can certainly say that YDOT, we're not giving you the full amount of money. You're going to have to make a decision. If you want to retain those employees, go for it. But this is the money that we're giving you. So I don't like this narrative that we're up against the wall and these are our only choices. There's other choices out there. I like the approach that JAC is taking. I just think there's other options out there. I'm not opposed to raising fees if we see a reduction in numbers of employees. But if we're just going to sustain what we have without any kind of reductions, I'm not voting for an increase. And I would encourage you to do the same.
Representative Blum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I oppose this bill as well in its current standing. I believe that we're not really discussing spending decreases here. We're just shifting burden of expense from our general fund to our citizens. I think we need to look at other options, explore other options before that we implement this one. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow members, I cannot support this bill either. This is a tax. This is a tax increase. And I am not going to be voting for a tax increase today. Thank you.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to speak in opposition to this bill. We're continuing the status quo in terms of spending, and I think in terms of getting our budget under control, we need to control spending. And just to give one anecdote, for how we fix this problem, we've got 900 series contracts, hundreds of millions of dollars of bid waivers, and you could probably save $100 million right off the bat if you controlled these bid waivers and just had them for emergencies. And we haven't even touched that. This is just the wrong approach. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to answer a couple questions that were raised. The school districts pay for the school bus license plates, the registration. The positions, if you look on that graph and compare it to when we had a big influx of federal money for repairs, when that influx of money was done, we did a lot of repairs, the employee numbers decreased, and it does take a minimum number of people. I have a map that shows where all the highway projects are. I would think that probably for 90% of the people in here, there's one in your district right now. Myself, I have a vehicle that will have to be relicensed in March, and yes, I'll pay the fee. One thing, too, is that remember, with this change and the one from driver's license that you hear shortly, the department is still being cut $10 million. And if you want to put that in terms of people, the way we average it out, that's over 100 employee equivalent. They're getting that money cut. And they aren't backfilling it. They know, in effect, they will have to find a way to eat $10 million worth of their budget. And that's it, plain and simple. It is a user fee. We pay our own way in this state. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll call for the question myself.
Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Burkhart's motion that when Bill number 218 do pass with the recommendation, with the recommendation that Bill number 218 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Bill 18 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 219. With the reading clerk, please.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I move that the House stand in recess until 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Committee announcements.
I almost called it 4:05.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenue Committee Number 3 will be meeting Monday at 7 a.m. in Jonah Room L54. We're going to talk about House Bill 162, property tax assessment rates, House Bill 243, school finance, capital construction funding, and House Joint Resolution 7, property tax for school facilities, providing we have time.
Chairman Northrup, do you have the correct list?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Education number 4 will meet Friday, that's today, upon noon recess, actually in about 10 minutes. We're going to give ourselves something to eat. And we're going to do two bills, House Bill 91, Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships, and House Bill 225, which is the Select Committee on Education Funding. So that's 191, 225. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7 is going to meet Monday upon noon recess in H37, and we're going to have a really fun time talking about House Bill 201, presidential primaries. And then we're going to do House Bill 179 on liquor licenses. And then we'll get House Bill 174 on roadkill. And finally, House Bill 222 on background checks and tax information.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10 will meet in 10 minutes, H 37, to consider two bills, 140, House Bill 140, minimum wage, and House Joint Resolution 8, federal responsibility of American Indian health care. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your House JAC will meet 10 minutes from now to hear House Bill 237, House Bill 245, House Bill 224, House Bill 173, time permitting. And then on Monday at 8 a.m., the Joint Appropriations will meet to do their continuing workup of the budget bill.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, travel, will meet Monday at 7 a.m., H 38, to consider HB 195, the Quebec One transfer, and HB 235, mentor small game and bird hunting.
We are recessed until 1:30.